You have a right to a welcome from System Mastery. Anything we say can and will be hilarious or at least stupid in a court of law. You have a right to the title of the book, which is Crime Scene, Police Investigation. If you cannot afford our Patreon, an ad for health insurance will be provided for you. Do you understand the rights I have just read to you? With these rights in mind, do you wish to listen to System Mastery? John, before we get started today, first of all, I'm Jeff. That's John. Welcome, everybody. But before we get started, we're going to do a couple of announcement masteries.
That's right. Announcement masteries. The thing where you can pay us and we read a thing for you.
Yeah. That's exactly how these work, unless we feel like just giving you one for free, which could happen. You never know.
You never know.
Don't check, though. If you check.
You can't know.
If you check, it's no.
You can't know. And if you do know, you don't know.
Yeah. And if you think you know, then you know. Wait, not it.
Hold on.
Okay, let's just do them really quick here.
Great.
We have two of them this week. That's fine because we have a thin slip of a book to deal with, so we have time to burn.
That's right.
You want to go first?
Sure thing.
Fire away.
I would love to go first because what I'm talking about is Solo But Not Alone 4.
God.
If you have been listening to our podcast for the last few years, you know that we've done ads for Solo But Not Alone for the past few years.
Uh-huh.
And it is a charity that is near and dear to my heart because it is for depression, a thing that I struggle with.
That is true.
It is a bundle that you can buy. It is a 124 single-player capable TTRPGs.
Jeez, that's a lot of games.
It is a ton of games.
Yeah.
If you just go to itch.io and look for Solo But Not Alone 4, you can find that. It is running right now. It goes through March 9th, 2024, if you're listening to this way in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $10, and all of the profits go to Take This, which is a charity that helps and gives a lot of resources and the ability to help people with depression, give mental health, mental illness resources. So
all very, very important.
It's awesome, and, you know, even if you don't give a single shit about people who struggle with depression, getting 124 games for $10 is rad as hell.
$10?
10
for 124 games?
10 American dollars.
That's only like $12 a game, John.
It's wild.
Wait, hold on. I think I might have done my math. It's only $120 a game.
That's right. And then $10, all of them.
That's an
amazing savings. Normally, all of them are $120 a piece.
That's right.
And you get all of them for $10.
Oh my gosh. You would be crazy to pass up on that deal to help people who suffer from struggling or struggle with depression.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity to help folks.
So, tons of different games in there. The bundle includes a spreadsheet, so you can just look up, you know, genre tags, if any have content warnings, anything like that, just little summaries. So, you know, 124 is a lot of games to get. And so if you want to just find something real quick because you want to play something, it also comes with great resources built right in.
Wow.
In order to get right into it.
That is fantastic. Now, where can people find this?
On itch.io, look for Solo But Not Alone 4. Big thanks to Kat McDonald for organizing this whole thing.
Absolutely.
And big thanks to Take This for supporting people with any sort of mental illness and depression. So love that. Go support it. It's a great deal. Thank you so much.
Great. And I'm going to do one real quick here as well. Knight Remastered is a rules-light storytelling and role-playing game about knights in the tradition of Arthurian romance. That's that kind of romance where you mostly fall in love with, like, the queen that's already married to some other dude, but it's like you sing to her about how
No, that's Lancelot romance. Yeah, Arthurian romance is when you get cucked.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I don't want to say that. That makes the game sound bad. It is inspired by Welsh myths, a once and future king, the many legends of King Arthur, and other tales of romantic chivalry and chivalrous ribaldry. In this game, you play a knight, though what sort of knight is up to you. Perhaps you are a valorous tourney knight, a master hunter, or a master of occult lore. Perhaps you are honorable to a fault, or a base churl, willing to do whatever is needed for the greater good.
Perhaps you are the Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
You are vengeance.
Yeah. Perhaps you are Bordello of Blood. Wait, no, that's the other one. The other one's got a knight in it. Demon Knight.
Perhaps you are a demon knight.
I get those confused. To the point where I think they both have knight in the title. I'm sorry. You have a house, a fief, and a family who support you, but you have dreams and ambitions and stories of your own that affect you. Whoever you create, your knight is a part of Avalon, a fantastic land of magic and myth. You may slay monsters, drive back raiders, uncover sinister plots, woo a person on behalf of another to ensure an alliance. Yeah, you can Ric Flair them. Or die in a duel with your true love.
I don't want my true love to kill me in a duel.
Well, someone's got to.
Well, that's true.
Pick your prayer.
Someone has to kill you. You can't die in your sleep.
Yeah, yeah. What binds your knights together is a symbol of hope. The High Queen, Kalia Penyu, in a land beset by... that's written in very Welsh English.
That's very Welsh.
I'm doing my best. I forget double L's, I think, are pronounced as W's.
Nah.
I think everything in Welsh is pronounced as W's.
I'm pretty sure everything in Welsh is pronounced however the Welsh say it is.
Yeah.
When they feel like it.
In a land beset by evils, both large and small, will you be the knights that save Avalon? Stop it. We're trying to advertise.
Hey.
This game is designed to welcome any who wish to strap on armor and fight for glory. There are no limitations in the setting or lore, with many types of faith, ideals, sexuality, and gender able to work within the setting. Finally and importantly, your first character is not your last. This is a game of dynasty. And as your knights age, retire, or die in duels with their true loves, you will take on the mantle of the next heir of the house. After you have played three generations through, the campaign is over. Let's see. Finally, your first character... Oh, sorry, that part gets written twice. My bad. Knights is a simple, modern system that combines elements of Into the Odd with storytelling principles from Powered by the Apocalypse and Forged in the Dark games. The rules are designed to be simple, fast, and require no referencing in play, focusing on player collaboration and narrative input. There's a Kickstarter pre-launch page to sign up to right now, and if interested, you can find the older edition on DriveThruRPG. Once again, that is Knight Remastered, available right now on Kickstarter. I will put a link up on Twitter and on our website.
Knight Remastered.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. Please consider checking out the fine products we endorse. They do a great job in picking advertisers in that they pick us.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. You can already tell that these people are brilliant because they've paid us.
Right. Speaking of, brilliant.org.
Speaking of, me undies.
Those me undies.
Me so undies.
The undies are delicious at me undies.
At All Factor, right. We'll deliver undies for you to eat.
Thank you so much. We'll see you again on the other side of the music. Have a good one. There, John, welcome back. We are now ready to officially start in full capacity as System Mastery. It's our first episode ever. I hope you're excited. We're starting.
It's my first episode. I hope it's yours.
It's my first episode too. I've never done anything like this before. I should just sit on the couch right there. Is that?
I was excited
to be a model.
Star Tours.
I was not.
Yeah.
I mean, I could.
We
be.
Went to very different places.
You don't have to have.
Star Tours, what are you doing here? And can you make it a little sexier?
I could have Teak and Lando explain how to loosen my seatbelt. That's right. I don't remember Star Tours especially well because I haven't been on it since I was a little kid. But I do remember the pre-flight safety commercial in which Teak the Flash Rabbit and Lando Calrissian explained how to buckle your safety belts.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it is. There's some warning, or not warning, but just like notification sound that sounds exactly like the I'm about to say some shit during Star Tours. It's like, doom doom, when you are on Star Tours, mm-hmm. be sure to get your dick out. And like, that's,
yeah,
you know, the classic Star Tours thing that they say.
All right, well, watch, I don't know, Clips for Sale for This Ain't Star Tours coming soon to Clips for Sale near you.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to be talking to, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing fine. You know what I could use, though?
What's that?
What would be great for me
in
my
you?
Life
what'd be great?
Right now
yeah.
is a beverage.
Oh, sure.
Would be amazing.
I'll get you one while you're telling everybody about the name of the book and everything. I'll turn around and find one for you.
So this time around, we are doing Crime Scene Police Investigation. Now, there are several crime scene books. We are doing the police investigation, but there are a lot of other ones, some very, you know, similar to this, because police investigation is very much someone looked up a lot of information and did a lot of research into the police.
Yeah.
And then incidentally also put some rules in there, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those. But strap in.
It also has like, oh, you can get crime scene the feds or crime scene sheriff's office or whatever. And then they also have ones that are like, anyway, we also included crime scene supernatural in case you want to be like wolf cop.
That sounds pretty rad, actually, the supernatural one. I mean, it'd be something.
Yeah, at least there would be something there, because honestly, this entire book is just a manual about cop stuff. And yeah, then in the middle, like sandwiched right in the middle of it, they're like, oh, I guess you need rules.
Here's some classes.
You can be a cop, yeah, or a trooper. Fuck, here you go, man. Yeah. I'm not even going to give you 20 levels worth of shit because I don't care.
It is interesting. There are, okay, so to set some bones on the table here, which is a common phrase that we all know and understand.
Yeah, here at Star Tours, we set the bones on the table.
Now let this rabbit explain how to put that seatbelt on. I just wanted to figure out when this is from, but this is OGL.
Oh, yeah. This is a 3.5 D20 open game license.
I'm not even sure if it's 3.5. I think this might be pre-3.5. This might be 3.0.
Oeuvre.
So,
I will say this.
Please do. Please say something.
Normally when we go and get one of these D20 books,
yeah,
it is almost invariably either one of two things, which is just shovelware that someone has thrown out the door with no give a fucks,
mm-hmm,
and trying to get some shelf space, or it's someone who is doing a conversion of a game that they already have but want to try and make any money off of.
Yes.
And so convert it to D20. Whereas this feels like someone was just doing a like report and then went, I could put rules in there.
Yeah, that really is what it feels like. It feels like someone was tasked with writing up a basic understanding of how the police operate as of like around 2000. And then when they were done, they're like, well, I've got about 40 pages of boring procedural details about how cops operate. Largely pro-cop almost all the
yeah,
way through
it. It's how they cooperate.
And I might as well get paid for this, but no one wants to buy just a short book report about cops, so I'll put in DC-20 occasionally in parentheses, and I'll call it a day.
Yeah. It just, you know, constantly is like, when the police show up to a crime scene, they will need to make sure that it is not contaminated. And go on for like a page, and then be like, and if you get fingerprints, it's DC-15. Moving on. Anyway, so when you go to deal with a courtroom and you're like, what is any of this?
Yeah. What I find most amusing, and I feel bad for even saying it because what else are we going to talk about after that, is all the times when they mention something about how easy it is for a scene to get contaminated or for a perp to get away because you don't do the proper Miranda rights or something.
Yeah.
They will end those paragraphs by saying, by the way, it is not a good use of your campaign time to trick your players by having them like forget to say they case the room correctly. It is assumed they are professionals and they will.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, so they just, what do you do then? What,
I mean, that's mostly just a, oh, don't be like, you didn't say you read Miranda right, so you didn't.
Yeah.
Be like, no, I assume you did that. And you don't go like, you didn't ask for a roll to case the room properly. You just go, hey man, while you're casing the room, make a roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I just found it amusing that they were like, well, we better cut off any possibly avenue that this might lead to gameplay accidentally. Anytime they're like, by the way, this wouldn't be interesting, so don't run this part of the game. Paperwork. Here's five pages on paperwork. Paperwork would not make it for an interesting game. And I'm like, then what is it doing here?
Well, I had already written it for my report,
yes,
that I gave to my high school teacher.
Yeah.
And so I decided to put it into this.
Yeah.
And like, it's weird because it also has that, like, you know, oh, the good information of like, don't try and gotcha your players of like, haha, you didn't do a thing and now you're fucked. Because the book is like, this is not cinematic police.
No, it isn't.
We are not doing Die Hard here. This is not Lethal Weapon. This is, you're a beat cop and you are going to pull someone over and be like, hi, I need to talk to you about a disturbance.
Yeah. The degree to which they don't want you to use this to run a police movie is pretty impressive. Like, they have all these sections that are just like, oh, how does jurisdiction work? And then it'll start out by saying, like, hey, you know, you often watch in movies when an FBI guy starts yelling at a cop about who has jurisdiction over this scene. Like, oh, this is my case and you're off it. I'm going to call your supervisor. That kind of shit actually never happens. Instead, everyone is fully up to speed on who has jurisdiction over what, because that's the way police have operated for hundreds of years. And so when they meet each other, they will just kind of defer to whoever is supposed to be in charge, and it'll all be fine, thank you.
Yeah.
You're like, but that's interesting, though.
And the other thing is, that, I mean, again, and tempered by the fact that he goes, also, if your players are doing something and it would possibly be like, oh, you know, this might be someone else's jurisdiction, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking terrible to be like, oh, I know you're investigating a thing and I'm finally allowing you to do anything remotely interesting.
Yeah.
But that's for the FBI and you're done. You should probably go back to, I don't know, doing your beat. Like, at least the book goes, hey, man, don't just like dangle a toy in front of your players and then be like, ha ha, and you can't have it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an impressively short book given how much nothing it packs in. There are some special D20 rules, but they belie a misunderstanding of what third edition D&D and the OGL toolkit would allow that is crazy to me, given that, you know, it's like we were saying, it feels very much like someone wrote a cop report and then was like, how do I make this into something I can get paid for? I know, I'll make it a D&D like the kids like. But they don't seem to quite understand what D&D is or how you would play it. Like, there's a part, I don't know if you noticed this, but there are like five classes in this game, right?
No, I did not notice that there are five classes.
No, I'm just setting up. You're just going to agree with me on that part, but uh-huh, you're the next uh-huh, bit. Uh-huh, but then when you get to the back uh-huh, of the book, uh-huh, there are two more classes.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is where they're going to put prestige classes, because that's an OGL thing. Like, they have SWAT officer and I think sheriff are both back there. And given that sheriff's deputy and regular police officer are regular classes, I was like, okay, you can take a couple levels of sheriff's deputy and then get elected sheriff and take this prestige class. No, they're just two more classes.
Yeah.
They just put them back there because they're like, here's some extra shit if you want some extra shit.
And they put them in the GM section.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, your players probably shouldn't be one of these to start with. And I mean, part of me gets that because if you've got one player who's like, I'm the sheriff and you're out there and where's the caveman? If you've got one character being the sheriff and like everyone else like, and I'm a state trooper, like, oh, well, you don't fucking do anything together.
Yeah.
And if one person's like, I'm SWAT, I don't get called in for almost anything, and someone else is a beat cop, you don't have any interactions.
Yeah.
But if you get to the point where you're like, oh, you're all, you know, various troopers and deputies and cops, but you all get promoted and now you're all on SWAT. Like, that's the kind of thing I could see it going to. I'm like, you're all level 6, and now you take a level in SWAT.
That's like having an army guy get promoted to being the captain of a boat. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. Especially with the sheriff deputy or the criminal psychologist, which is another funny class. Where
oh,
like,
no. That one, you're very much like, oh, yeah, that's not going to be promoted to any of these.
I don't even know why it's in here. Like, you can tell they barely know why it's in there. Like, they straight up recommend you maybe don't play as this one. You're only going to be playing in major jurisdictions where there would even be a criminal psychologist. And even if you are one, yeah, technically you're like a little bit of a cop, but you're not going on busts or anything, and you don't carry a firearm, and you don't have any of the skills that the other people do, and you stay in your office.
Yeah, it's wild because out of the five classes, you've got one of them is a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and the other one that doesn't really do anything is the crime scene investigator, which you're like, oh, yeah, you're the person who shows up and collects evidence and goes back to your lab.
Yes, and it's done, like we mentioned earlier, in a very realistic style. So if you're a crime scene investigator, you're not also a police officer who handles the entire case and you solve the entire crime by standing in the room and closing your eyes and imagining.
Yeah, this is not like you go to a crime scene, tell a pun, and then the Who starts playing.
Yeah.
This is, oh, you go to a crime scene and you pick up like 27 discrete little bits and then you go to a lab and fuck with it for days.
Exactly. And you have one job. You're in there just looking at hair all fucking day. You're not completely taking over the entire case and you go stand in the perfectly bloody room and have a, I don't know, close your eyes and do a Beautiful Mind Dexter montage.
You're not like, well, the splatter was at this angle. Mm. Which you're like, no, dude, I'm sitting behind a desk and going, all right, run program.
Left.
All right.
Okay, check.
Hold on.
Checking left, yeah.
Wait.
Which one is this again? I'm doing 45 cases today because all I do is check hair.
Hey, did we get case 27 or is this 28?
Yeah. That's what you're playing, which is wild. They do let you, they still like, you are a cop. You went through basic training. You carry a firearm and you can arrest people and stuff like that for fun. But
yeah, you are a cop. You can arrest people for fun. That is a thing you can do.
Yeah, but for the most part, your job is to very carefully pick up evidence and unplug computers and make sure that everything is handled by the book and appropriately.
And that, I mean, at least in a couple of the scenarios they have in there, I'm like, all right, they talk about like, oh, if you're a crime scene investigator and you're in a small local area and you're like, I'm the one guy who does this. I'm not in like LA or New York. I'm in some town that is just large enough to have a lab.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, then you're in a town that is small enough that you actually probably do have to go out and do shit too. Cause they're like, we don't have enough like ridiculous crime scene stuff that we need you studying hair all day.
Yeah.
You actually do need to go out and patrol, but we do have you do lab stuff when we need it.
Yeah. Honestly, it'd be way better to play this game in like the 30s or 40s based on that old John Mulaney routine about what crime scene investigation was like in the 40s, where they're just like, we found this pool of blood. Hmm. Gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's there are, as we mentioned prior, there are five primary classes. The other two, they don't specifically say that. I mean, they mentioned that sheriff is an elected position, and therefore it would be difficult for all the players to be sheriffs because they'd have to be of different counties.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're just like, here's the GM section. Bonus content. Here's two more classes you could use.
Yeah.
But the classes are cop, which feels weird, largely because that's, you know, what you are in all of these, sort of. Crime scene investigator, criminal psychologist, deputy, and was
trooper.
Trooper. Okay, I was like detective or something, but no, that's
it is detective.
Yeah.
You do have detective as one of them.
Yes. And each one of them works like a standard, I think it's 10 level, 3.0 D&D class. All of them are 10 level. They all get a base attack bonus. I think there's only one class in the game, and it's one of the bonus classes that gets the fighter level of base attack bonus progression. Everyone else is worse.
Yeah, I think the best baseline one you can get is just cop.
Yes, and after that, SWAT gets a standard fighter one per level progression.
Yeah.
But they also all get a defense progression, because obviously it's a modern setting, so...
people aren't running around in shields. Full plate.
Yeah, so there is armor. You can wear ballistics and so on.
My very favorite thing from that, which you pointed out, and then I was like, that can't be true. And then found it and went, no, all right.
Yes. One of the ballistic armor pieces has no armor bonus, but a penalty to your max dex and your move speed.
Yeah.
If you wanted to just wear a heavy thing for no reason.
You go into the equipment section, I was like, oh, here's all the armor you can wear. And there's all the different types of, like, here's ballistic vests and riot gear and all that. But one of them is a light concealed vest, which is the sort of standard operating thing of like, oh, I'm in a like police uniform, it's underneath my shirt.
Yeah.
And it is an AC bonus of nothing.
Uh-huh.
But then gives you a max 4 dexterity and a minus 1 penalty to whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So it is just put on a vest for no reason except you're worse.
It's weight training. It's so you can be Rock Lee. You take it off right before you get into a real police fight.
If you have the ballistic armor feat so that you can actually have the proficiency in it, then it halves the penalty down to rounding down to 0. So then it is just a cap on how much dexterity you can use.
Yeah.
And that is the only thing it does.
Uh-huh.
Which is amazing that would be in this book.
I mean, I spent the book's not big enough for this to have wasted this much of my time, but I spent like a couple minutes flipping pages back and forth to see if I can find like a list of the armors to find out, oh, it's at least Kevlar. It will have the damage of a first bullet that hits you or something.
Oh yeah. I was waiting for there to be something in there where it was like, oh sure. It probably doesn't give you an AC bonus, but it's like, oh, this, if you get shot like once or twice, it will, you know, like take the damage down by a D6 or halved or whatever.
Yeah, it reduces the die size, something, and then it isn't useful anymore because Kevlar shatters on impact when it gets hit the first time. So it would have something like that. But no, it doesn't. It just gives you penalties and no bonuses of any kind if you want.
It is wild.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they managed to put that in there. And it just reinforces the idea of, I don't give a fuck about RPG rules.
Yeah.
This is a book about cops.
Yeah. I mean, like we were saying, a lot of this book, you're just sitting there reading. And there's a big section on the NCIC crime computer, right? Where it's just like, hey, this is a big crime database that you can use to look up like the basic information about anyone who's already been registered in it, fingerprint data, that kind of thing. goes on and on about how it works and how it used to be that that police precincts used to charge each other to access data from their precinct, but now there's a new law that says you can't do that anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then finally, at the very end, after you've read about a page and a half of content about how the NCIC works, it ends with a sentence that's like, just so you know, anyone who researches this is logged, which means that when you look up information on it, they look up that you looked up information on it. But it is a DC 20 computer check for someone to know that that's the case.
Ugh.
And I'm like, wouldn't the first time that someone realizes that, they just go tell all their fucking pig buddies?
Yeah.
They'd be like, don't look that look shit up on that thing. If you're looking up shit, that's for your illegal cop duties or your dirty cop shit that you're doing, because they'll track it to you. Instead of being like, no one can ever speak of this, people must discover it their own via computer knowledge.
No, that the fact that you writing this fucking D&D supplement book know that means literally every cop knows that.
Yeah. And the fact that when I read it, I wasn't like, oh shit, they log usage on the NCIC database? I would have been like, honestly, I feel like they probably mandated that via some union bullshit probably around 2002.
Oh,
where they're like, not anymore. Now you can look up whatever dirty information you want.
Look up all the information on your ex-wife and where she is right now.
Uh-huh. Because damn it, our boys in blue deserve it.
You know, or at least like 40% of them.
Google 40% of cops to learn more.
One of the beginning things in this that I just remembered and did not want to go past is when it is talking about, like, oh, this is a book about real life cop information, and there's a little bit of, you know, drama sprinkled in from the TVs and movies and whatnot. But if you're reading this in order to get a better idea of what cops are like, good job. But if you're reading this to get better at doing crimes, that's a problem. And I'm like, what?
Please tell me there's someone who did that at some point.
Who is like, God, I need to figure out how to do this heist. How the fuck do I get away with these crimes? Wait a minute. Crime scene, huh? Hey, I got me an idea.
You've just described the plot of Wilson Fisk, year one.
Wilson Fisk just sitting there like, how do I get Vanessa to notice me? I know, an RPG.
I want to become the ultimate crime boss. But I'm worried that if I just Google things at random in the NCIC database, I'll be fine.
If I Google them in the NCIC database.
I use Google as a verb for looking things up. I'm an American, damn it.
God damn it.
I cried at 9/11.
I cried right next to Dr. Doom at 9/11.
Who was also crying, but mostly because he wanted to destroy those towers.
Oh, man. God, I love that picture of just, like, Fisk makes sense, but having Dr. Doom and Magneto crying over 9/11 is like, my man, you have fucked up.
I mean, I feel like Magneto should maybe not cry, but at least understand the magnitude of what he's seeing. Like, he's like he's a victim of another massive series of human depravity and death. Like, sure, I know he's become ultra radicalized for mutants, but to still see that kind of thing, he's got to be like, man, this is messed up. But Dr. Doom?
No, Dr. Doom fully gives no fucks.
Dr. Doom should be standing on the wreckage being like, this would never happen in Doom's Latveria.
This is why all planes from Latveria are piloted by Doom bots, impervious to people taking them over.
Yeah. But and also the art for that weird panel is also hilariously bad, and it's just always been an amazing source of fun.
God bless.
Yes. Never forget.
Never ever forget that issue.
But yeah, just don't use this book for crime, everybody, okay?
I love that. I love that they thought that they were like, oh, someone's going to use my game to figure out crimes. Because anything that's in an RPG book teaches you how to do it for real. I know that because I learned how to be a witch from D&D.
It's also why they eventually realized they had to, in that Pathfinder game, they had to make it a feat to be able to pick a weapon back up into your hand with a weapon cord, because someone tried it in their yard and it was impossible. They took a mouse and they tried to pull it back up into their hand via the mouse cable, and they only got it right one time in three. That's how they know that's actually not possible for fighters to do that.
That would be difficult for a trained fighter.
Especially one who's like a superhero who constantly fights rust monsters and bugbears.
Yep.
They can't do things that I can't do.
Role-playing games, my man.
Oh, boy. So the classes, we've already briefly mentioned them. The only other stuff about this game that's new are the skill system. There are some new
not the skill
there's
system.
There's some new skills.
Yes.
Is that a little better?
Yeah.
A lot of them are just the same thing as a skill that was in D&D, but for cops now.
Yes, and they didn't get rid of the old one. So you have, like, diplomacy and intimidation in there still, but then you also have interrogation or police interrogation.
And interrogation.
An interview.
Yeah.
And, what, like, research, and there's, like, another one of just talking to people. They put, like, three different talk-to-people skills as a cop.
There's interview.
Yeah, there's interview and police research. Interrogation and research.
Yeah, yeah, and they left, but they still left in stuff like diplomacy. There's also counseling now.
Oh, yes, and counseling. That was the other one.
Yeah, but most of them just do the same stuff. The difference being that, like, the only one of them really has any kind of strong mechanical difference, which is interrogation versus police interrogation. Police interrogation is you're following the official rules of police interrogation. So you're still using all those, like, shitty, depraved tactics that real police, because they mention all of them, and they set them all up as, like, good things you could do.
Well, they're all like, oh, here are things that will not fuck you over as a cop. And then they go, and here are the couple things where if you do them, it will make anything you get inadmissible.
Sort of. Because they start by saying, like, all right, here's a list of things that cops routinely do that are fine. You can control their access to food and coffee and cigarettes. If they haven't requested their lawyer, you don't have to give them their lawyer, even if their lawyer is standing outside asking to speak with them. Turn the lights on and off at random. Move them so they're not facing the door. That freaks them out. All kinds of these random enhanced interrogation tactics. These are all fine. And then they go, that's police interrogation. You roll that. You can also, if you wish, roll regular interrogation.
Intimidation.
But if you do that, then it's inadmissible in court. And I'm like, but that's defining what the intimidation skill is. Like, yeah. If you can still do intimidation and say, like, oh, but when I'm doing it, I don't, like, ram his head into the wall. I just kind of threaten him a little bit.
I'm intimidating, but I'm not, like, physically hitting him or anything. That would be combat.
Yeah, it's like they were like, well, what are some skills we could put into this book so it counts as an RPG? Well, cops interrogate people. Put that in there. There's an intimidation skill. Say if they use the intimidation skill, they lose the bust.
Yeah.
But
you can still use intimidation, but mostly the book is like, oh, you use this if you're talking to an informant.
Yeah,
you use it on
the street.
So if you're not like, oh, I need a actual thing for a case, if you need that, that's when you are in an interrogation room and you use police interrogation. If you're just talking to some guy, you can be like, oh, I'll interrogate that guy. I'll fucking slam his face into the wall. I'm a cop. I can do that, and it's fine.
Yeah. And then every one of the new skills has a can you try this again or not?
Yeah.
Most of them are no with a weird excuse.
God, also, some of the DCs in this is also very clearly a person has never played a D&D, because it's like, all right, if I want to, I don't know, set up a good web security for my computer, you're looking at like DC 30 or 40 if you want it to be good. And I'm like, DC 40 is an insane number.
Yeah, it's not really a thing.
No, that's a number for an insane person to say.
Yeah.
And it's just set up a very good amount of security for a computer. On the other hand, though, I can be a untrained medical person who just has, like, oh, I've got some, like, first aid training.
Uh-huh.
I can do surgery on a guy without any doctoral training in that, without, like, going to medical school, and I can do it without the right tools in the right setting. So just, like, cutting a guy's leg off with a hacksaw, that DC is maxed at 29. It is harder to set up fucking Norton antivirus in this game than it is to hack a man's leg off and have him survive.
Yeah.
What?
Don't worry about it. That's pretty much the answer here.
Ugh.
Yeah, a lot of them say you can't keep trying them for various reasons. Mostly it's the whole, like, you wouldn't know you got the information wrong thing.
Which I get for things where it's like, oh, here's the, like, gather evidence skill. And you're like, oh, you go to a place and you get evidence. All right, you can't try this again because obviously if you didn't gather it the first time, you didn't think to gather it. But the one that's funny on gather evidence is it's like, oh, if you fail, then the evidence is destroyed.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm sorry, if I pick up a gun as the murder weapon and I fumble and I roll a one, all of a sudden the gun disintegrates in my hand?
I mean, I guess your capacity to read it for evidence is the thing that gets destroyed. Like, you somehow, I don't know, flip and drop it and it falls in a washing machine and erases all the fingerprints and everything.
You just start licking it. You're like,
let me get my DNA on this.
Just gonna guys, put it in my pants.
Guys, I rolled a one and rubbed this on my butt.
Yeah.
But no, it's a crime scene recording is that one. The one where it's your job to go in and like take all the pictures and not touch anything and unplug the computer so no one hacks it to delete the data or whatever. All those kinds of things, right? But it says like, what if you fail your role? It's like, you wouldn't know you failed your role. And I'm like, I feel like there are situations in which the answer would be yes to that. Like if you were, I'm in there to do crime scene recording and I accidentally fell face first into some blood.
See,
I know I failed, but I don't think I succeeded.
The recording one is more, you failed because you just forgot to take a picture of something. So you don't realize you forgot to take a picture of it because you failed.
Yeah. Except it could be both of those things. It could be like, well, you went in there to take a bunch of pictures of stuff, and instead you forgot to bring film with you, and when you were trying to go in, you hit your shin really bad, so you can't actually work right now. Can you try again? No, you think you did a perfect job.
No, and
I'm like,
it's great.
No, I don't. I don't think I did a perfect job. Some crazy thing happened.
The can you do this again does feel fine for certain things.
Certainly, yeah.
But it is weird for others where you're like, no, you don't get another chance at getting this evidence. Fuck you. And I'm like, but why?
The pick locks one was funny to me, where it was like, can you try again to pick a lock? Or it's for forced entry.
Yes.
Can you try again for forced entry? Yes, but increase the DC by 2.
And I'm like, your shoulder hurts. You tried to ram the door open.
I'm like, because it applies. It's like, oh, you're using all the tools. You're trying to pick the locks. You're trying to use that big shoulder, that ram, that heavy ram thing. All the tricks to get into going through the windows. And I'm like, I feel like any attempt you make, even if you fail, is less like it's less likely to harden the building you're trying to get into than it is to damage it structurally in some way. I feel like I try to beat the door down. You fail, and the door gets harder and madder.
The door is the Hulk.
I feel like instead you're like, yeah, the door's creaky now. It should not get harder.
Yeah, unlike me, it doesn't get harder when you beat it. Hey now.
And unlike a door in this game, you can try again with John. 20 minutes, have a little milk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a conversation. We'll figure it out.
Happens to lots of Johns.
Yeah. There's one of the skills they put in this is car stuff. So it's general car knowledge,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the sort of like, oh, I know where people normally smuggle shit. So like, I know these panels can come out of these cars, and that's where you'd put drugs. I know you could, like, hollow out the bottom of this van to put people in there.
Yeah.
That kind of shit. And that one is like, no, you can't try it again, because you looked through everything, and you figured,
you're
like, oh, I checked it.
Uh-huh.
So, that one I get, but still.
I get it a little bit. Like, it's circumstantial, and I feel like they should have mentioned that. Like, yeah, granted, it's a really short book, so maybe they didn't have time, but if it's like, all right, you go through this car and you can't find any place where they're hiding drugs. So you're convinced that there isn't any place where they're hiding drugs. Anyway, you have to let them go. They get somewhere and immediately it's discovered that they sold a bunch of drugs. So you pick up the car and you're like, there's no reason to check the car. It's impossible for them to have hidden drugs in there. And I'm like, or maybe you fucked up?
I mean, I assume this is more a, you look down, you rolled a 2, yeah. And you're like, can I try this again? You're like, no, you don't realize you rolled
fair.
A 2 in real life.
Mechanically, you can't know that you rolled a 2 in real life or whatever. Sure, that's fine. Because otherwise, why even roll things at all?
Yeah.
That's what taking 10s and 20s is for, which only some of the skills allows.
Yeah, the car one, they're like, you can take 10 because you're doing a thorough job.
Yes. Can you take 20? I don't know what that is. I don't know what D&D is.
I'm sorry. I did not pay enough attention to D&D for this.
I mean, I think my favorite example in the whole book of this person may or may not know what D&D actually is the special rule for added defense in this game.
Uh-huh.
So every character class, as I mentioned earlier, in addition to a base attack bonus, fort reflex will bonuses, and bonus feats, like everything that every character gets in this game is a feat. They either get an assigned feat or a bonus feat from a small list every level. That's all they ever get.
Yeah. Every level is a feat or one of your bonus feats.
Yes. It's all feats, though. There's nothing in here that isn't feat driven.
Yeah. No one has a special power.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is they all get a defense bonus to make up for, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that no one's running around with plate mail and a shield. When they mention, there's a section that says, like, special defense rules, and it took me forever to figure out that all it was describing was, you get your dex bonus to AC.
And it is described in the weirdest way possible, and I wish I could find it, away.
Yeah.
But it is straight up just like, you have an AC, and the AC is the bonus to hit for penalties. And you're like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
Uh-huh. It makes it sound like it's a penalty to other people's rolls to hit you, but really all they're trying to say, the completely normal thing of
you add your dex to this and that, and then add that to 10. That's your AC.
Yeah. But they're like, this is a special new rule just for this game.
And
here it is. PCs and objects receive an AC bonus ability in the game. This represents how easily they can be hit in a fight or how vulnerable they are to damage. PCs who are attempting to hit something or someone roll their attack with the target's AC bonus as a bonus to a normal DC 10 plus any ability or circumstance modifiers. So part of that is that they put the word the term DC in there.
Yeah.
Where armor class is not a DC, it's an AC. Like, I get that they are very similar things, but the
one's an alternating current and one's a direct current.
Yeah, exactly. So let's discuss Coulombs for a second.
Dude, those are some Coulombs.
Thank you. But the fact that they say that to hit somebody in this game is a DC 10 skill check is like, yeah.
I guess.
I guess, like, technically, but it's a clunky way to describe them. But saying that you add the bonus to the DC 10 roll to hit, it's like, it's really confusing. And at the end of the day, all they're saying is, hey, you get your dex bonus to AC, which is like, yeah, duh, this is no GL product. We all already know that.
Yeah, that's part of the fucking game.
Yeah. For a long time, I was like, wait, do you get double your dex to AC in this? Is that what they're trying to describe? Because they want to be like, hey, we're making up for the lack of armor. No.
No.
So they're like, hey, for example, let's take this one cop, a 7th level cop with a dexterity of 15 who gets a +2 dex bonus and a +4 total AC bonus would require a 2-hit check of 16 or better to be hit with no additional circumstance modifiers. Yes, because their AC is 16. That's not that complicated. This system is already in place. You are basing this on D&D.
Yeah. For all of the things for this book to explain, the how AC works feels really weirdly out of place.
Well, especially given that this game constantly hands out fort, reflex, and will modifiers to all the classes and everything, and then has all of those original, like, great fortitude and so on feats from third edition in it. I don't think there's anything in here that would ever cause you to test any of those.
I mean,
I think the closest there's will for scary shit.
There is specifically a feat to get fort bonus checks to you go into a nasty crime
scene.
That's what
it was. It's fort checks for you see a gory thing.
But there's no, like, here's the DC list for, like, how gory a crime scene has to be and what the penalty or the check would be. It's just like, you will get a fort save bonus to nasty, gruesome crime scenes. You're like, what? Well, what am I, how much... What am I rolling against? I can't just get a +2 for nothing.
What's the DC? Or it's not a DC at all, is it? It's a save roll. So you're telling me what I have to. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it is.
Oh no, wait. No, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm trying to remember how third edition fort reflex and will work.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just wild. Where, you know, all the classes get the standard, like, oh, a basic cop gets fort and reflex at the strong level and will at the weak levels. You remember from third edition how, like, some classes get a +1 at the starting level, other ones get a +0 at the starting level, and then they proceed at varying speeds. So every class gets two of them as a bonus, or as strong and one of them as weak, but there's no mention of what they're for. Like, there's no description of grenades causing a reflex save for half damage or anything like that in here at all.
Yeah, reflex is the one that literally I could not find anything.
Yeah.
I found one reference each for Fort and Will, because there's the gruesome crime scene for Fort, and will is specifically if someone is trying to counsel you using the counseling skill and trying to get you to calm down or whatever, it is you make a will save to be like, fuck you, buddy, I'm never calming down. Yeah. And those are the only things I could find that use those.
Yeah, so it's like they just left them in because, you know, it's OGL. You leave those in. They're part of it. But they didn't bother to mention, like, hey, maybe sometimes when you have a showdown against you draw down and you get in a Mexican-style standoff with some bad dudes, then maybe it's a will save to break their will so that they put their guns down before you do, or you break and run, or whatever it is. No, we're just not going to bring that up. We'll just give you will saves anyway, because you're supposed to.
Yeah, you just get that. It's fine. You have a reflex save, because, I don't know, what if a wizard shows up and fireballs you? One of the only things that this game fully adds as far as new to, like, D&D and the mechanics wise is it has rules for, you know, burst and auto fire.
Oh, boy.
Because it's a game with guns and they're like, well, I have to differentiate between shooting a single bullet and shooting a 3-round burst.
So if your gun is capable of shooting burst fire, then you get something that are called burst dice.
Yeah, an entirely brand new mechanic of just like, oh, if you're firing more than once, you get these new D6s for you to roll.
Yeah. Now, this is weird because the game straight up has every gun has its amount of shots it carries, how big the magazine or clip or whatever it is, and the process by which you reload it. So we know all that stuff, but then they also abstract it.
Yes. It also has the, like, Gamma World level, oops, now you are out of ammo,
yeah,
and you normally wouldn't be. The weirdest thing for me is they're like, okay, when you roll a one of these, like, burst fire dice,
mm-hmm,
it's a D3. And then it says if you roll a 6 on those dice, then you run out of ammo. And I was like, wait a minute. You mean if I roll 2 5 or 6s? Because they're D3s. If they're D3s, do I have to get to 6? Do I need... And then, like, 3 paragraphs yeah, later, it really says, oh, no, it's if you roll a 6 on the die... Then bad stuff happens.
Yes.
The only reason we've mentioned that it is a D3 is because if you do manage to hit someone with this and you're all aiming at one person, then it does all of those dice that you rolled that are burst dice as extra damage.
Yes. Yeah. So effectively, most of the guns that have burst fire capability at all have two starting burst dice. Some of them have one. That's the reason it's most. They keep mentioning that there are bad effects that happen if you roll varying amounts of sixes, but for the most part, it's nearly impossible to do so, because most of the guns have two. If you roll, you basically roll 2d6 for 2 burst dice. You fire a d3 shots for each d6. So basically, each one's a d3, but the 6 fires no shots. So it's more like you roll 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, none are the values on the die.
Well, no, because it's just D3 is just damage added, not number of shots you do.
No, it's number of shots you do.
Because you can do a burst 3, and it says if you hit, you would just add all the D3 damage. So mm-hmm, if I rolled a 6, I would add 3 damage, but then I would be out of ammo.
All right, that's fair.
Because anytime you roll a 6, you are out of ammo.
Yeah, and if you roll 2 6s...
then you're jammed.
Then you're jammed. It takes a full round action to clear your gun so you can keep shooting later. Now, notably, that means you have about a 1 in 36 chance of having your gun jam if you're firing with the 2 dice burst die thing. And it's impossible to jam your gun if you're firing with 1. Now, it does mention that this would scale up to about a 7% chance if you were firing with 3 dice.
Yeah.
You have a more likely chance to run out of ammo because you're rolling 3 dice. The only way to do that, though, is if you have some kind of burst fire specific feat, which adds a burst die to your full auto fire burst rounds.
Yeah, you know, in case you're the type of cop that's just like, oh, I took a machine gun in here and just pulled the trigger down.
Yes.
You're like, well, great. If that's you, here's what you can do, but you'll probably run out of ammo.
I shouldn't say 1 in 7. I think mathematically it's a 7.4% chance of rolling 2 6s on 3d6.
Yeah. The weird thing for me is the person writing this knew that that was fucking weird when they were like, okay, but if you go into a fight and you know that you have a full clip of ammo and you have checked it beforehand,
yeah,
and then you shoot and suddenly you roll a 6 on the very first like 3-round burst you do and now you're out of ammo, they're like, well, that's weird. You get, if you have checked your ammo beforehand, 1 reroll on the first 6 you roll. But
you're still possible to roll a 6.
Yeah, but if you just roll it again and get another 6, you're like, well, I guess I looked at this, saw I had, you know, a 12-round clip. JK, I have 3 bullets. All the rest of them evaporated.
Oh, there's lipstick in here.
Someone put a bunch of little plastic BBs in there for some reason.
Oh, it's those cartoon bullets from Who Framed Roger Rabbit in here.
Yee-haw! Oh, no, it's that really racist one.
We can't even mention him on the show.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, and if you have a really good quality gun
you
roll 2d6, then you can, again, re-roll the 6.
Yeah.
Which, also, you can just re-roll and then jam anyway.
Yeah.
All of these are... it's a weird rule, but it's, I guess, supposed to be like, oh, just so you don't go into a room and just immediately fill it with bullets.
It's also one of those fun things where it feels obviously very gamified to try and, you know, balance these mechanics, where they're like, look, if you're firing an AK-47, one of the most reliable rifles ever made, which is why they're everywhere, they have a 1 in 36 chance of jamming. I'm sorry, that's just math.
Yeah, every time it shoots, it's got a 1 in 36 of jamming.
Uh-huh. You just can't not jam these guns.
Constantly jamming.
Yeah.
This shit is like a Bob Marley concert.
This shit is like Lone Star is messing with you.
I don't have a third one.
Hang on, I might.
Hold on.
Okay,
wait.
Can we get there?
Wait.
No,
what?
I don't have one either.
No, this gun is like Smuckers.
And the holograms?
It's got to be good.
It's like a Southern Gem in the holograms. Oh, that's my favorite musical actress, Jam in the holograms.
Nope.
No? Can't get there?
Not doing it.
It's not working? Okay.
Not working.
All right, I tried.
Anyway, that whole thing is just, it's weird given that they're like, oh, and then for every burst die, you're plus one to hit a single target, and you get the D3 of dice in damage to hit a guy. So, given that you can get feats for, like, I'll do quick reload, it's probably still worth it to do the 2d6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll just get an extra, like, 2d6 damage.
Yeah.
And a plus two to hit on a guy, because you're not very accurate or good in this, which is probably fine given that no one has any AC.
And they do make a big point to mention that cops rarely hit anybody, and in fact all guns are super inaccurate, and if you ever watched movies when people are always shooting each other in the back easily, they straight up say in here that firing to disarm is a myth.
Yeah, they're like, no, you shoot for center mass because it is the best chance you have of possibly hitting something.
Plus, if you murder someone, then fucking your wife that night is amazing.
That's what the book says.
The book doesn't do that. That's what you get from those weird, like events they host for cops all over the country.
Aww.
Fuck that shit. That's some terrifying bullshit that actually happens.
Terrifying shit.
Yeah.
Cops.
God damn it. The big book of how to protect capital.
I do love that the book itself is even like, 95% of your job as a beat cop is responding to people who have complaints about someone fucking with their stuff.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, well, it's good that you at least know that this job's entirely protecting property.
I love how much this book wants to let you down gently about how boring this game is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, look, you're only going to maybe do 10 felonies a year. Most of the time, it's just misdemeanors. You will virtually never observe a crime. That is not a thing cops do. Instead, they just mostly listen to people who are high or drunk complaining about other people who are high or drunk.
Yeah, you will show up to a complaint, and 95% of the time, that complaint is, someone broke one of my things.
Yes, or my bike is missing. You will do nothing about it and go back to your office until it's your turn to be the guy who has to stand in there and take the weirdo complaints from the walk-ins.
Yeah, he's like, most crimes do not get solved.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, police work sucks and is pointless.
I mean, they have the one thing I said I found is an interesting sentence in there, and if cops weren't the worst things on earth, I would have found a nice thing to learn. Largely, police work is work. No one's a diehard about it like they are on in the movies, where like, I live and breathe policing, and that's all I think about. It's a job. You go home at the end of the day, it's boring, it's just like any other job, it sucks.
Yeah, most of the time you're going to sit behind a desk filling out forms, because if you don't, then everything you just did that day doesn't matter.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the extent of it. There is an adventure in here. I don't know if you read it. I read it. It was like, a bunch of teens go missing because one of them killed another one because he was upset that his dad is having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a really churchy dad, and his dad's having an affair with the secretary, and so he snaps and pushes his like wannabe girlfriend off a Ferris wheel, and now he's hiding in an old factory. And you have to solve the mystery, because it's all crime scene investigation, so you have to solve the mystery of what the heck happened and find the other teenagers and convince them to talk because they don't want to, and if you don't do it fast enough, then he'll shoot up a parade.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's a little distasteful, honestly. I did not enjoy reading it, but I guess, you know, that's because it's how to be a cop, so what are you gonna do? You want to get into your favorites and least favorites? We're actually pretty much at that point.
Yeah, might as well.
What's your favorite thing in crime scene, police investigation, OGL?
Man, I guess at least I'll say, like I said towards the beginning, there are points where the book does at least give a couple decent things where it's like, hey, you know, don't fuck with your players. Yeah. Don't tell them that they're going to be able to do something and then pull the rug out from under them.
Absolutely.
Like, there's so little to do in this type of game anyway, because I've turned a cop drama into a cop procedural, actual procedural, please fill out this in triplicate.
Yeah.
So if you do give them a lead or a thing to do, let them do it. Let them at least be the heroes in their shitty little story.
Yeah.
So There you go. That's the best thing for me. What is your best thing?
I mean, I feel like you were saying, it's pretty much the same thing. It's the way it treats the players. For me, it's the whole letting them down gently about how this is actually boring and just a job. Because I'm like, hey, that's really good information to give your players before you try and run them through this game?
Question mark?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it really is a game. It feels like it doesn't want you to play it.
No. Everything in this is like, all right, well, you're going to be a cop and you'll be on your beat. You'll wander around all day and probably listen to some people and maybe pull someone over for speeding, and then you'll go to your desk and fill out paperwork and you'll go home and then you'll be done. And you're like, yeah. Oh, what a wonderful game I've played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a 40% chance of something interesting happening.
Google it.
So we gamified it. We put a 40% chance of cool things happening in there. What's your least favorite thing?
God, I mean, the fact that this game is about cops.
That's fair. You can just say that there shouldn't, you shouldn't gamify this kind of thing.
Because it's, I mean, there is the sort of like police in like superhero media, or the police in specifically like certain types of cop stories, where you're like, oh, this is a world where the cops aren't just there to protect private property and harass minorities. Like, they exist in a world where they actually do want to help people. And you're like, oh, okay, in those, that's fine. And wanting to be a cop in that setting would be like, all right, I can understand. Because then you're at least being like, I'm being the, like, idealized hero version of a police officer.
That's not this, though. This, your person you're trying to help here is your fucking pension.
Exactly. I'm like, this is, it's bad and my least favorite thing, because it is straight up just like, no, you should be a real life cop, and real life cops suck ass.
Yeah.
So there you go. What is your least favorite thing?
I mean, just the lack of game here.
True.
I mean, there's no prestige classes. They didn't really care. Half the shit they put in here, there's no reason for it to be in here. It doesn't really seem to work especially well. Most of the classes have really crappy hit dice, but the weapons do shitloads more damage. I know that's because they're trying to say, oh, it's gritty realism. If you get shot, you're probably going to die, but it's not fun.
And also, we didn't really go into this. There are, you know, a bunch of feats specific to this book.
Oh, yeah.
And almost every single one of them is a just skill training feat. It's just you get plus two to two different skills.
Yeah, one, two, or three different skills. Almost every. The only ones that don't are things like you're good at punching to get a +2 damage to unarmed hits.
Yeah, you get a like +4 to your right hook. And then they've got like, oh, you can pilot a helicopter or a motorcycle or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it. Those are like, the rest of the feats are just, you get skill training.
Uh-huh.
So it could have just been picked to like one feat, pick two things, get +2 to it.
Yeah, especially because that was already in third edition. They had that educated feat or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
Just to handle the use case for stuff where like alertness didn't cover it.
Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah. Just not great. Would you play this?
No. Fuck no. It's OGL, so I don't want to play it anyway, but Jesus, I do not want to be the world's shittiest, most boring cop.
Yeah.
And would you play this?
No.
Obviously.
It's a crappy shovelware OGL game with no game in it. No, why would anyone play this? Why would anyone buy one of these and then be like, oh, I need another one?
Yeah, the fact that there are like 9 of these crime scene books, I'm like, why?
And also, like the moment you read the first one, you're like, oh, okay. They've got to be banking on non-return customers.
Yeah.
Because the moment you read one, you're like, okay, if I buy another one of these, it'll have some classes that don't matter, stuck in the middle of an ocean of basic Wikipedia-level information about the genre it's describing.
Yeah, I can't wait to get the crime scene, the mob one, and then have it go, I need to let you down on how not glamorous the mob is.
90%
you have
of it
seen
is
Goodfellas, and it is not that.
It's not that. 90% of it is sports booking.
You need to know that none of this is interesting.
Uh-huh.
The world is a boring place for capitalists, and that's all that exists here. And you're like, thanks, game.
Hooray.
Good job. I'm going to get Crime Scene Yakuza. I hope this is cool. Like, no, it is not. Nothing is cool.
Like, straight up has at the beginning. It's like, well, there's still technically a Yakuza that exists. It's kind of like the way the Hell's Angels still represent bikers. Like, there's just some guys. It's like a social club now. So this is a game for playing that era of the Yakuza, the boring part.
Aw.
I mean, I'm sure there's like a real one. I don't need to be told if there's still like guys cutting their pinkies off or whatever. I'm all set, thank you. My level of interest is minimal.
Aww.
Unless it's Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
In which case that shit rules. All right. So neither of us is going to play this. Surprise, surprise. But hey, if you want to hear us make characters in it anyway,
oh boy,
I can't stop you or myself. We're going to make OGL characters again right over there at the Patreon, patreon.com/systemmastery, where if you support us at the low, low bargain basement $2 level, you, yes, you, will unlock the bonus content where we make characters in the game we just reviewed.
Mm-hmm. $2 a month and you get this and every single character we have ever made in that bonus content.
Also, you know all those ads you sometimes hear on our shows? Gone. Except for the announcement masteries. We leave those in because those are for good causes. But all those ones that are shitty that we don't put in there, that they're put in on our behalf, gone. So for $2, you get rid of those. You get one RSS feed that contains all of our ad-free shows, and you get the bonus content like this, plus some new bonus content that John just threw out by making all of the first season of our TV Mastery Littlest Hobo episodes available at the $2 level. What a guy.
Yeah, that's right. If mm-hmm. you are at the $2 level already or want to go join us at that, the TV Mastery series that we have is at the $10 a month level, but I put the Littlest Hobo season, the 12 episodes where we were covering the wild Canadian TV show where a hero dog saves people. It is an amazing show and I think a great season of that bonus content. So if you're at the $2 level or want to go to it, that is open so you can check out what we do at those higher tiers.
I support and endorse you doing that, as well as checking out those higher tiers. But otherwise, hey, support Solo But Not Alone 4. Look up the other game.
Knight Remastered.
Knight Remastered. Thank you. Thank you. You're very helpful in that.
I'm so good at having a mind.
Uh-huh. I have no memory whatsoever.
That's fine. You don't need a memory. Uh-huh. You've got me, and I don't need to be happy. I've got you.
He's my shoulder. John's my shoulder. End sentence. Thank you so much. We'll see you again real soon. Have a good one.
Design Doc started as a podcast about designing a role-playing game. Over the years, it's turned into so much more. It's a show about the challenges of burnout, making money from creative projects, and what goes into bringing a game to life. Come along with Hannah and Evan in a living documentation of the game design process. One review described it as the audio equivalent of taking a hike with a good friend. You can search for Design Doc on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.